my own. The next morning, I awaken to find that my mouth tastes as if a rat used it for a bed and breakfast, and Mo still isn't here. I roll over, reaching across her side of the bed. Empty. It's early, but I yawn and sit up, then visit the bathroom to change the rat's bed linen before stumbling downstairs. The kitchen sink is full of empty bottles, and someone left a Jesus phone on the kitchen table plugged into my laptop. Oh, shit. It wasn't a dream, then. I switch the kettle on and run a comb through my hair, wondering if I can take the bloody thing back. I haven't activated it, have I? Oh. There's a handwritten note next to it. I read it with a sinking heart. Hi, Bob. Hope you like the Easter eggs, brains. No, I can't take it back. Not until I find out what brains did to it. I rack my memories for any hint of details, but it's all a bit of a blur. I remember him saying something about evaluation work. Jesus, he could have put anything on it. Not that brains would install classified experimental work-related software on an agent's personal mobile phone. Oh, no. But if he thought it had been issued to me by work, that would be another matter entirely. I turn the radio on just as the kettle rises to a rattling, rolling boil and shuts off. I pull the cafetiere out of the cupboard and spoon coffee into it, pour water and stare at it, as if that'll make it brew faster. It is just occurring to me that today is a Thursday and I'm not expected to... Nope, scratch that. I'm expected not to go into the office today, and I haven't the foggiest idea what to do with myself. It's not like a holiday, meticulously planned fun and frolics on a beach with Mo, or even a weekend of vegging out in front of the TV at home. It feels more like I'm under house arrest. Sick leave is no fun at all when you're doing it on instructions from management. The radio is blatting on about the news. Prime Minister talking about the need for faith schools. Something about a UN Population Fund meeting in the Netherlands. An idiot footballer getting an idiot multi-million pound handshake from an idiot football team. All the usual cheerily oblivious rubbish we listen to in order to feel connected. Right now, it sounds like it's bleeding in from another world. I carefully lower the plunger on the cafetiere. It's balky and has a tendency to squirt hot coffee grounds everywhere if you don't do it just right. Then pour myself a mug and sit down in front of the Jesus phone. Gosh, that thing's shiny. Now, what can brains have done? It doesn't take me long to find out. The icon that looks like a tumble dryer is a bit of a giveaway, come to think of it. I groan and stab the thing with my thumb, and a whole bunch of new icons show up. What the fuck? I swear quietly. There's a lot more to this than just evaluation work. Those of us who do field work have a whole suite of specialized software tools we need to carry about. Most of them don't require any particular hardware. They just need a general-purpose processor that can do some rather unusual, number-intensive calculations, and the new phone's got plenty of grunt in that department. This looks like a first pass at porting the entire occult field countermeasures utility trunk to run native on Jesus' phone, which means I can forget about returning it to the shop, for starters. Brains has unintentionally taken a huge stinking shit all over our security front line, installing classified software on an unapproved and unauthorized device. It was just an obvious misunderstanding and no harm's come about, and as soon as I can smuggle the phone back into the new annex and get him to wipe the fucking thing back to factory condition, we can pretend it never happened. But until then, I'm going to have to carry the thing on my person at all times and defend it with my life. Well, that, or I can set operational oversight on him, but my life doesn't need the excitement of being the subject of two simultaneous boards of inquiry. Jesus, brains, I murmur. Is it something in the water? I poke at the option set up in Offcut admiringly. He's done a thorough job of porting it. This is almost as tightly integrated as the old version I used to have on my Trio, before they pulled it because it violated our ROHS waste disposal statement. Half an hour later, my old and unwanted Motorola rings. I pick it up and see withheld on the display, which means one of two things, a telemarketer or work, because I put my unclassified desk phone on call divert. Yes? Bob? It's Andy, my one-time manager. Nice guy, when he's not stabbing you in the back. What's up? You know I'm on... Yes, Bob. It's about Mo. I sit down hard. She's flying into London City from Amsterdam on KL-1557. My heart starts up again, and I think it would be a really good idea if you were to meet her in. She's due to land around 9. You can just get there if you leave in the next 10 minutes. What's happened to her? I realize I'm gripping the phone too hard and force myself to open my fist. It wouldn't do to break the bloody thing before I've ported my number across. Nothing, he says too quickly. Look, will you just... I'm going. I'm dragging myself from my sick bed, groaning and limping in my nightgown to the airport, okay? I look round, trying to locate my shoes. I dumped them in the hall the night before. Are you sure she's okay? Not entirely, he says quietly and hangs up. I'm dressed and out of the house like a greased whippet, round the corner to the tube station and the train to Bank, and then the DLR line to London City Airport, out in the East End near Canary Wharf. I remember to grab the Jesus phone at the last minute, shoveling it into an inside zippered pocket in my fishing vest. I'm at the DLR platform waiting for a train before I realize I've forgotten to shave. If Andy is yanking my chain. All doubts fade when I get to arrivals at 10 to 11 and see KL-1557 on the board, on schedule for 15 minutes hence. If she's hurt... But she won't be. At least not physically. In her line of work, if something goes wrong, it's probably